Public Safety Committee will come to order. Members, we're, this may be our last meeting, depending on what happens. I know we're all sad. Thank you again for yesterday for the smooth passage of the omnibus bill out of committee. I think we put a Ways and Means tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. And then, so today, this was something that I had wanted to, a meeting that I wanted to convene earlier in the session, and just to to pull it all together, but we're just going to have a review of the Violent Crime Coordinating Council report, actually a broader review, a review of Gang and Drug Strike Force. As many of you are new to the committee, some of you were here back in 2009 when you weren't here. You certainly read about it in the newspaper, saw it on the news. Were uncovered at the by the Metro Gang Strike Task Force that was terminated by the commissioner at the time, Camden. And this legislature and this committee, with the Senate held hearings over the interim to try to figure out a way to ensure that the vision and the mission of these gang strike forces was maintained. Great work. And in your packet, you can see the list of, there's 60-some different gang and drug strike task forces that probably reach most of your legislative districts. But we want, obviously, when we convene the interim hearings and then transit system. And so, and then, if I remember correctly, looking at your report too, that you are supposed to conduct random audits of that data every 3 years. Has that been done, or is any? Thank you. is that still meeting, and is that process going to continue as you make recommendations? I'm assuming to the legislature to fund the. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
Color along with our communities in many senses, so that
1989, you were considered a gang member in under your current system.
Crime, you know,
Well, I think this is good, but I think we need to, this committee needs, as you move forward and develop a new system, I think it would be helpful to have this committee, Senate and House, involved in that process. So go ahead with that. Presentation here.
Sure.
adjourned, and I want you to address the FBI Safe Streets program, which has deviated from this process and does not have oversight by you. But I want Representative Joan to ask their questions first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question about the 9-point gang criteria, and I realize that has to be very difficult because it's quite subjective.
That's more information anybody need to know. So, Commissioner, first off, I want to thank your office for the excellent work that you've been directed towards this. I'm not afraid of audits. I think that it's the right direction to go, and when we find things, we find out that there are humans in charge of these task forces. They also change, and we've changed the rules quite a bit. And some of those rules that have been changed are, they're daunting. The forfeiture rules, the documentation related to that, and I'm pretty sure I've made mistakes on that myself, especially after we made those changes, because it was, we looked at like three different forms, like, is this the right form now? We don't really know, and it's difficult. But I do want to go back to how the oversight was in the past and how we're changing that for the future, because, you know, I was a part of a task force when folks would come in, and we were under the impression it was an audit, and maybe it wasn't the same type of audit. But what is Special Agent Marquardt going to be doing? What's different for him than what was in the past? Because I don't want to see the same thing happen again. And it was very difficult to see that we would get positive audits around the state. And even the gang strike force got positive audits or positive reviews. And all of a sudden, the whole world blew up. And that was, to me, when I looked at it, that was kind of a black eye on the BCA. And for a time, and that... I happen to know Special Agent Marquardt from past dealings, and I know that he's a very knowledgeable and wonderful person, and probably is amazingly suited to do this job. What are we doing to make sure he has the tools and to do this as best possible? Because, quite frankly, I don't even know how nervous I would be if I were you right now to take on this job. So what's different, Commissioner?
From my perspective, first of all, I have to tell you that I'm engaged in conversations with the Community Council and the Office of Justice Programs as we go around the state and do the assessments of certain audits. And so the second round of audits will be starting in the fall, and we'll have direct communications of all parties involved. when Brian, statewide coordinator, started his response,
So, you know, and Commissioner, you and I have had a conversation about this, so I'm not saying anything that we haven't already discussed, but this has been troubling to me because, and I get that the FBI feels that their rules are as strong or superior to the state. That's what they say anyway. But it does seem like to me, as someone who was involved in creating the statute, that was a way to circumvent kinds of oversight that we had intended to give you the powers or at one point to evaluate and do the kinds of audits that we're talking about, because now nobody knows. And former commander or former state commander Bushman reviewed the Safe Streets program, as you know, and really had sort of a you know, scathing report about their practices, and there's nothing we can do now, because they are not under the auspices of the BCCC, and you have no authority over them. And so it's a little troubling, because now we have to just sort of go on your view that the FBI has more stringent or as stringent oversight procedures in place. And how do we know that?
Mr. Chair, members, I can tell you that there was a violent offender task force that was started by the Hamilton Police Department in 2005, and they recognized a need for multi-jurisdictional and a team of different jurisdictions in order to combat some of the violence that was occurring at that time. So I don't believe that the creation of the Safe Streets Task Force was to circumvent the law, because the team essentially was in existence prior to the law being enacted, which is now called Safe Streets. So the state, local, and federal agencies got together and decided to form this group to bring to the Task Force. As far as the Safe Streets Task Force that exists today, the superintendent sits on the advisory board for the Safe Streets Task Force, and the assistant superintendent, actually, Drew Evans, who's in the audience today, supervises the two people that are assigned to the task force through their supervisor. And so, from the state perspective, we have information shared from the task force and the advisory board through the supervisor, so we have management controls on our own people, but still have to follow our policies and our guidelines and the way they interact with the team, the Safe Streets team. I can tell you that local, state, and federal task forces have been in existence for, I can see the local, state, and we have resources. Each of us has different resources that other teams use, so they make a very robust team, and they prepare a good team in order to combat some particular crimes that were happening.
So will Mr. Marquardt, like Mr. Bushman, still be monitoring the FBI program, or are you totally, or will you not be involved in that kind of auditing capacity in the future and leave it up to the superintendent? Because when Mr. Bushman wrote his report about the FBI Safe Streets program, he said the lack of advisory board involvement leaves the FBI Safe Streets Task Force with no outside oversight of operations or the selection of targets and prosecutions, no formal method for conflict resolution, no regular forum for discussions about strategy, problems, or allocations of resources. More importantly, without regular advisory meetings, he goes on and on and on. I guess I wonder if there's no state money going into the FBI Safe Streets program, why would Mr. Bushman or Mr. Marquardt still